Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
I've got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. As well as if you are on the Super Chat page and you want to go and visit the People for People Radio Network, there's a banner ad down under. Just scroll down there, you'll see the People for People Radio link there. Anyway, why energy is wasted? You are paying for it, right? Well, there was a question that ironically enough came out in the chat room. Yolantz said that Shaziz, our laptop power cable, the box in the middle of the cord is getting hot when connected. We are using the laptop. It would it make a difference if the laptop were not turned on? Yes and no. Well, here's the thing. What I was going to talk about today is power factor correction, which is something that a lot of folks, I would venture to say that majority of the folks out there don't realize even exist or even know anything about. See, the problem with this, the way that these systems are set up, the laptop has a built-in transformer in there, and keep in mind, it's a really small transformer inside that cord that takes your 220 if you're on 220 or your 110 here in the United States, and it reduces it down and then runs it through a rectifier system and it pumps it into your laptop to charge your batteries. Well, your batteries, when you're trying to run your laptop at the same time while you're trying to charge your laptop, then that means that the doggone batteries are having to work harder. And so you'll note that the temperature will rise up on the batteries and the temperature will rise up on the power supply. So best case scenario is when your laptop is fully charged up, unplug the power supply from it and just let the batteries do the work. Now, if they was to redesign these things, they could actually do it to where you wouldn't have this issue. You know, with a little bit of, you know, engineering, you could actually, you could solve that problem of the heating and it wouldn't be an issue anymore. But as far as when you get from the power supply from the laptop, from the wall power into your wire, into your transformer, and then down finally eventually in your computer, well, what's happening is your transformer is what's called an inductive load. And an inductive load, in case you don't know, is basically how you're running electric motors and, you know, like such as fans and stuff like that. Well, when you induce a current in that, in that either the transformer or an electric motor, when that magnetic field expands, in between cycles, it also then in turn collapses. So you got a magnetic field being created that gives you the power to turn your fan and or, you know, induce a current through the transformer core into the secondary to put it at whatever voltage you want on the opposite side. Well, in between cycles, that wants to collapse. And so as it's trying to collapse, that energy is trying to figure out where to go from there. You know, it's trying to go back into the power source, which is the wall outlet in that case. And so the wall outlet's constantly trying to push power in, and you're trying to send power back. Your device is trying to send power back, and so the two are colliding with each other. And the power factor rating is when you get these two offset waves. One's coming this way and one's coming that way, and they're not in the sequence with each other. So they're kind of fighting with each other, which means your wall outlet has to work harder in order to give you the power that it thinks you need in order to run your device. See, the wall outlet don't have a brain. It's going to keep on pushing that power, pushing that power, pushing that power. It doesn't matter, you know, how long you leave the thing plugged in. Yeah, it's going to continue to keep pushing power out that wall outlet. And so that constant bouncing back and forth of that energy of the AC wave going back and forth between the wall outlet and your deals producing heat inside your transformer. So your transformer begins to get hot. Well, at the same exact time, you're trying to pull the power off of that transformer via the circuitry on the other side of the step-down transformer, and that power is then in turn you're trying to push it into a battery. Well, these batteries, even though they're pretty good batteries, more than likely most laptops have lithium-ion batteries or, you know, nickel-cadmium different types of known brands of batteries anyway. But those batteries aren't designed to charge and discharge rapidly. You know, it takes a while. Your average lithium battery, completely drained down would take probably about maybe an hour, your cell phone battery or whatever, to recharge to its 100% capacity. Well, in the meantime, you're trying to draw power off of it while you're trying to put power back into it. So obviously, it makes it have to work harder in order to do what it's doing that you want it to do. So with that said, there are solutions to the problem, but the mainstream industry out there hasn't, informed the people of any differences in, the type of power that you pay for. Now, I don't know how it is in some states or maybe even some other countries, but they say on this side that they don't charge you for that energy, that extra energy that's being wasted by, the appliance of the bad power factor rating. And when you go and try to look up power factor correction, then you're going to find some really high-tech explanations dealing with mathematical equations on how to resolve this problem. And really, it's ridiculously simple how to actually solve this problem. Most of the electrical industries out there, they don't want you to resolve this problem, because in reality, the overall total of what they're charging you, if you're drawing more amperage on a particular motor, then obviously your meter is going to be spinning faster out there, and you're going to be paying for your electricity not once, but twice. Because when you send the energy, what energy doesn't get used by that electric motor is trying to be shipped back, which is increasing the strength of that field that's actually making that meter turn faster. Now, at the very least, it's over one time you paid for it, and I'm saying it's probably even farther than that, because in reality, if you go through your entire house and you look and see, you've got a lot of inductive loads in your house. Your laptop charger is an inductive load because it has a transformer in there, a step-down transformer. Your phone chargers have a step-down transformer. Most of your appliances in your house, like your TVs, VCRs, CD players, all those things right there, because obviously they can't use 120 AC to run your appliance. Your computer doesn't even use 120 AC to run it. Most of that, whenever it comes into the back of the computer, it has to step that power down and then divide it up into anywhere from 12 volts to maybe 5 volts and possibly 3 volts or whatever. It has to divide that power up to run different circuits that aren't designed to run off of 120 volts AC. Or if you're in the UK or anywhere in Europe, they're more than likely running on 220 at 50 hertz. Over here, we're running at 120 at 60 hertz. We got 220 lines, but most of our 220 lines are for resistive loads like electric stoves and electric furnace elements and stuff like that. Or hot water heaters. For most incidents, hot water heaters over here are run off of 220 because it's a little more efficient than trying to run it off of a 110. But they do have 110 volt hot water heaters over here. And so, with that said, there's nothing wrong with the energy per se. It's how we're actually using the energy. What is the problem? Most of the big industries out there are, like factories and stuff that have 220 motors or 240 or whatever, big old electric motors. Well, they actually get charged for that extra wasted energy because it causes a problem on the power grid, because when you're trying to push power to something, the simplest explanation that I can give you is like this. So you're driving down the road, and you got your car running, you ain't got nothing on, no fans, you turn your radio on, and the next thing a little bit more power is being used by the alternator. Then you turn your air conditioner on, and that heavy compressor kicks on, and you can actually hear as your alternator bogs down, and it has to work harder. That is because the way that those motors are set up, your fan motors or your compressor motors, it's an inductive load, and so it's what power it cannot use, it's trying to push back in the opposite direction, making that alternator have to work harder. Now, you would think that the industries out here would be smart enough to realize this and be honest enough to basically tell the people, hey, you could do this to reduce that effect on your deal, which would actually save you more gas, because if your engine's not having to fight with your alternator, then it's going to not have to work so hard, and that means it's going to use less fuel. And the same thing would apply with all the electric generators out there, gas-powered or diesel-powered electric generators. The same thing applies with the power company themselves, and they know this. But if they was to tell you that by installing certain devices that you could correct that power factor rating, one being the best, and anything below that is considered a bad power factor rating, or you got a wave coming in that you're trying to draw the power, the real power, and then you got a wave trying to go back out the other direction, which is the reactive power, which is from you have the magnetic field in your transformer or your motor expands. And then as it's collapsing, it's acting like a generator. It's trying to push power back in the opposite direction, which makes you draw more amperage, at least appear that you're drawing more amperage. And so I got a few videos that I'm going to play to try to give you a better explanation than what I just said. But the simple of it is, we're wasting a lot of electricity because we have all these different transformers, which are inductive loads. And the resistive loads, basically, if you think about like water, and you got a valve in between this line, and you're trying to circulate this water, and you take and you shut the valve halfway off and restrict the flow, well, that is basically what a resistive load does. Now, if you have the same water and you're trying to circulate it, and you're pushing it in at more power than you have space to allow for a return, at some point it's going to back up. And so if you got a really wide space that can keep up with the same amount of flow, then you can keep that flow constant without any types of interruptions. And that's the same exact thing that's going on with electricity. When you're trying to shove all this electricity to it, the electricity, the energy needs a place to go. If it doesn't have a place to go, then it will back up and it will begin to act exactly like a resistive load. A resistive load is basically, you're pushing the energy through it. The energy is slowed down. It can't get through it very smoothly. It's not able to go through smoothly at all. So, it's like your space heater. It is deliberately designed to resist current flow so that it will get hot. Two of the elements that we use, nichrome wire and tungsten wire elements, these are specifically designed to act as resistors. They resist current flow. So the more current flow you got through there, the hotter these materials will get. And that's how our electric heaters work. The same applies with your electric stove, your electric hot water heater, Those are all resistive loads, and essentially you've got that valve in the middle that is actually slowing it down, and in that process of slowing it down, trying to resist that, it's producing heat that is in turn, you know, either warming up your water or heating up your room. And so once you understand how this energy is actually traveling and how it's actually being used, then it'll make a lot more sense to you how you can actually save electricity. Most of the energy that we got coming into our house, there's losses in the system because of this excess heat that you don't want. Now, in a perfect world, whatever wasted energy that we did have because of transformers, electric motors, and things like that, we would turn that that excess power that's trying to go back in the opposite direction into a plus. We'd turn that heat into, instead of having to run a massive space heater to keep your room warm, that you would extract the heat energy off of these other devices and use that energy to help keep your room warm. A prime example is I run multiple computers in here when I'm doing this show. And in the back of these computers, because the transistors and the processors have heat sinks on them, and when they get to a certain temperature, as opposed to allowing them to burn up, the system has a built-in fan that kicks that fan on and blows air across there. Well, after a while of running these computers in the room, it will actually cause the room to get warmer. I mean, it's adding to the heat in the room. You can imagine what big, huge server farms would be like. They would have to have a lot of cooling in order to be able to, you know, keep those processors down to temperature so that they don't get too doggone hot. Well, so you're losing energy in the form of heat, and you're losing energy in the form of when that energy comes into your house, and your appliance uses what it can and rejects the rest of it, tries to ship it back in the other direction. That's classified as a loss. But in reality, what it's actually doing is going in back into the power grid, so the energy that you're trying to use, you're paying for it on the way in, and you're paying for it on the way out, because it's coming back at you again. And so you're paying for the energy more than once every time you use it, because of the way the system is designed. Now, imagine if you had a place for that energy to go, so once it comes into your wall outlet, before it actually gets to your appliance, you have a storage bank that it'll pass through. So as it's passing through there, it's still at the 50 or 60 hertz range at whatever voltage that you're accustomed to using. And the difference now is that when it gets to your appliance ain't trying to fight with the power grid anymore. What it's doing is whatever energy it can't use, it basically dumps into your storage bank. And so that storage bank is like a piggy bank. It's a surplus. And so with that said, it's like the equivalence of if you got a big lake and it's raining like heck outside. You got so much rain pouring down, and you have a spillway over there on the side that basically relieves the lake when there's too much water coming in. The rest of it goes over the spillway and down into the creek or river, whatever. That's the same exact thing that's going on with electricity. Once you understand that, you're only paying for the electricity once when it comes in. The rest of the time, you know, you're adding to a storage bank that is storing up that energy so that you can send it on down the line to the next appliance. So the proper scenario would be that you would actually have this big storage bank. Your power's coming in, and it's pushing it in faster than you need it. When that storage bank gets completely filled up, it would literally shut that outlet off, and that outlet would not push any more power until it was needed. When the storage dropped down to a certain percentage, then it would turn the power back on automatically. So you'd have literally smart outlets that would maintain the excess power. If you're if it detects any power coming back to it and it's not needed, then it'll do one of two things. It'll either ship it back over to the storage bank, or it will literally turn the wall outlet off so that you're not sending more power in there. It would literally regulate the amount of power coming out of that wall outlet. The majority of these wall outlets, all of them, every single wall outlet out there in this day and age, in this time that we're in right now, are pushing more power to these appliances than they can actually use. And depending on it, whether it's a resistive load, if you think about a resistive load, it's still AC current. It's still going back and forth. So to some extent, it still causes a little bit of heat in the circuitry, or in the wall outlet and the wiring and so on, from the distribution point to the appliance and back. Well, if that energy has a place to go, regardless of whether it's a resistive load or a reactive load or whatever, an inductive load is what I meant to say, regardless of whether it's resistive or inductive, you got two issues going on there. One is neither one of them can utilize as much power as actually coming out of that wall outlet. And so, by doing a few experiments, such as getting something like a variac, and turning the power, a variac is a variable speed, it's like a variable speed controller as well, but it's a variable transformer that you can actually turn the power up and down. So you could find that exact sweet spot that you knew that resistive load would run at the same temperature, but not use near the amount of amperage or wattage in order to be able to do the job that it's doing. And so we have the capability to literally figure out what appliances need what power and work our way accordingly, even to build to the extent of building a smart power strip that will use whatever the appliances needs and only that amount. The rest of that energy would be guided off into a storage bank. So as you're running this outlet, your power is being guided where it needs to go, and it's not trying to shove too much power to that any given appliance, which means that it will reduce the waste of energy in the form of heat and whatever. Everything has a thermal breakdown point. When that heat finally gets on to up to its thermal breakdown point, like the insulation on the wiring has a thermal breakdown point. When it fails, it'll cause those windings on the motor or transformer to short out, and so that reduces the amount of turns, and it also basically turns it into a dead short, and it causes it to get hot because now it's just turned into a resistor, and you don't want that. So by keeping those transformers and those electric motors cool at all times, then they can't reach their thermal breakdown. But the cooler you can keep those, the better off it's going to be. Well, it's hard to keep them cool because you're pushing too much power to each one of these appliances. Now, when I get my new lab finished, which it's taken me forever and a day because of all kinds of different episodes going on, it's mostly financial, but I'll get around that. I'm working my way there. But when I get that, I'm hoping to show some real-time videos explaining to you in the most simplest way possible exactly what I've been trying to share with everybody. If this all plays out the way I hope it does, then you'll be able to save a massive amount of money on your electric bill every month just by understanding some basic concepts and going out and getting some either some electricians or whatever to install devices that are already existing on the market. There's already automatic devices that will check the power factor of your power that's coming into your house and smooth everything out, guide it to where it needs to go, add more capacitance when necessary. For the most part, industry is the one that has the highest power factor rating as far as negative power factor rating, and because they run so many different machines that use electric motors. Any inductive appliance is going to try to send power back to the power grid. And when that does, it basically has the power coming, trying to go back the other direction, fighting with the power that you're wanting to use, and slowing everything down, canceling out fields, or even making fields stronger, and causing the amp draw to go up higher. Well, by understanding what it is that I'm trying to share with you today, this is probably going to be one of the most important videos or podcasts that I put out here. And so I hope that you at least save the podcast, download it, and that way you'll have it for later references. But I have to first be able to explain to you what the power factor is. And in some incidents, or most incidents, when you go out to try to look for what power factor ratings are and the difference between real power and reactive power, and there's another terminology that I can't remember right at the moment, but basically it's all as simple as that an inductive load tries to send power back to the power grid, and it's like that back EMF that you kept hearing everybody talk about, that inductive kickback, the flyback effect and stuff. Basically, your appliances are trying to push power back in the other direction, because when you induce that current into the coil, it makes a magnetic field. When that magnetic field collapses, it tries to send energy back in the opposite direction. By having a place for that to go, then that will reduce that effect and completely eliminate it in some cases, depending on how good your math is, and you won't have that issue anymore, which means that your appliances won't get near as hot, if hot at all, by using the power in this manner. So with that said, I'm gonna play a few podcasts, and I might stop them here and there and try to talk to you about it. I'm sorry about stumbling on my words today. It's just that my mind is racing in 10,000 different directions at one time. But I'm trying to figure out the easiest possible way to explain to you what it is that I'm saying, so that whenever this is all said and done, you'll be able to save a lot of money on your electricity bill. At the very least, if all of us can't get off the power grid and have our own free energy device, so to speak, then at least you should be able to save a quite substantial amount of money just by understanding how your appliances are using electricity. And with some of the examples in these videos right here, if you listen closely to what they're saying, and you're going to notice a difference from how these systems work, what it is that they're doing, the difference in amount of amperage that is going, that is being used when electric motor is running. The electric motor is running, it's got its own personal amp draw, but it also has its return power that it's trying to kick back in the opposite direction, which is adding to the amp draw. So in some sense, like I said, you are actually paying for that energy twice. If it's only drawing 2 amps with a certain system on there, and it's got a good power factor rating, but whenever it starts to kick the power back in the opposite direction, and now suddenly it's drawing 5 amps, then that should explain to you what it is that you need to know. What's going on here? I'm paying for 5 amps worth of power instead of 2 amps working for power. So this all makes sense, hopefully, by the time I'm done with today's show. But I'm going to, if you don't get it today, don't worry. I'm going to get my lab together. Once I got my lab together, I am going to show you a real-time explanation of this, so simple that everybody can understand what it is that I'm saying. Because I want you to, at the very least, be able to save money. And I'm not trying to sell you any kind of device or anything like that. I will show you which ones out there are the ones that you can get off the store shelves that will benefit you, and explain to you where you want to put these and where you don't want to put these. There, like I said, there is a difference between an inductive load and a resistive load. A resistive load is like having a valve in there that is slowing down the current. It's not taking that power through. It's not allowing that power through like you normally think. So one would think that a resistive load would cost you more energy than an inductive load, which in this particular case is not the case. The inductive load, which you have tons of in your house, you got a refrigerator, you got electric motors such as fans, you've got air compressor, your air compressor motor in there, if you got an AC motor, any of your electric motors, and any of your transformers. There's transformers in just about everything that take that power and step it down. Well, when that's happening, when it's trying to take that power and step it down, it's actually trying to push power back in the other direction. Whereas a resistive load, it's just slowing down the power coming in. And the materials are used to resist the current flow, in which case it keeps the power slowed down. And the problem in that incident becomes that the power that's coming in is being rejected and sent back in the opposite direction. And so the heavier that load is going back in the opposite direction, then that means that that load right there will cause your power meter to spin even faster. So, excuse me, both of them are inefficient, but both of them have a solution. So with that said, let's get in this right here. I wanna try to get an explanation of this power factor ratings.
Today we are going to discuss another basic and very important thing in electrical engineering, that is power factor. We normally come across power factor in each and every subject almost, but we don't really understand what exactly power factor means. We think power factor means cos phi is a power factor. So when you ask me what is power factor, we'll simply say cos phi. But it is not actually true. We'll discuss in this video what exactly is power factor and how is it different from efficiency. Let's get started. Okay. Let me take a powerhouse where we generate electricity. Okay, here we are generating a voltage of 10 volts and we are giving that to a load through transmission line. We are supplying to the loads. Why we have powerhouse here? To give power to the loads. So let's suppose this powerhouse is supplying 1 ampere current for simplicity. I'm taking here RMS values. We know power means voltage into current. That is a basic definition. So it seems this powerhouse is giving 10 units of power. because volt is into current, which is 10. 10 units of power it is given to the load. It seems, okay, don't just freeze it out. For the time being, powerhouse is delivering how much power? 10 units of power. Here that unit may be any unit. I'm not talking about that unit. Okay? Yeah. For a better understanding of this concept, I would like to compare this with our day-to-day life activity, which is e-commerce site, online shopping. Okay? I think we are most familiar with this online shopping than this power factor or power system layout. So I would like to compare this with that so that we'll understand the concept in a much better way. Okay. So this e-commerce site is there and it is selling the goods to the consumers through some delivery services. So there is a similarity between these two. Powerhouse, this online shopping site, and load and consumers, delivery services, transmission distribution. It is just the similar. Okay. Now let me analyze different type of loads, the quality of different type of loads with respect to the source. Now once again I am emphasizing here we are now going to analyze the quality of different types of loads with respect to the source. Okay, let's get to that. Let me consider a pure inductive load case, which is one type of load. So we know for inductor, if I give a sinusoidal voltage which is black color, current is also of sinusoidal nature, but it is shifted by 90 degrees. That's what you could see here. And power is a multiplication of voltage and current. So if I multiply these two, we got power, which is of this nature. Now, what do you understand here? During this time period, power is positive, and in this span, power is negative. So what does it mean? During this span, power is transferred from the powerhouse to the load, and in this span power is transferred back to the source from the load. Why it is given back to source? Because we have inductor there, we have an inductor there which is storing the energy in this span and returning back to the source in this span. Alright, now if I compare the same with our e-commerce site Amazon, so I ordered for 10 products, 10 products have come to the load, come to the consumer, and that consumer has returned all 10 products. So it seems Amazon has sent 10 products to you. Apparently, it seems Amazon has sent 10 products to you. But in a true sense, how many products have come to you? 10 has come, of course, you returned all those 10. So in a true sense, 0 products are successfully delivered to you. Let's take another load, another type of load. It's not pure inductive, it is RL type of load. So here negative portion is less because inductor value is less, the energy stored in inductor is less. It can be a capacitor also, I'm just considering here inductor, one case. So here the energy stored in inductor is less, so that's why it has sent less energy back to source. Another type of load, it is even much less. So let me take 10 products are apparently, it seems, they are given to load, but out of 10, 2 products you have returned back to source. So how many products are with you now? 8 products are with you in a true sense. Okay, so how can I get this 8? 10 minus 2 simply, or average of this. You take an average of this, you will get same 8. So you may call this as true value or average value. Alright, so let me take another type of load. So what we are trying to do, we are trying to analyze the quality of the load with respect to the source. I am considering another type of load, which is a pure resistive load, who is another customer of that online site. So if I multiply these two, I get only positive power. Means out of 10 products which is delivered by Amazon, he has received all the products. He has not returned even a single product. Okay. So let me take this person is Shaker. It's me. Okay. And he is doing good here. He has not returned even a single product. So he is Shaker's friend. whose name is also Shaker, okay, because he is doing good, right? Alright, so let's take another person, okay. He has ordered 12 products, 12 products have come to him. Out of 12, he has returned 3, he has retained only 9 products. So, Shaker's friend, again, but not Shaker, this time Prakash, okay. Another person, okay, Ramesh, Shaker's other friend, okay. Another person, oh nice, more number of orders, so it must be a girl, and of course more number of returns as well, so it's my girlfriend, okay, Shaker's girlfriend, good. Now another user, oh it's even more, 45 number of orders in a month. Yeah, it's a good girl. She's a good girl because she has returned only 3 products returned. So let me change my girlfriend. Okay, she's no more my girlfriend now. She's my girlfriend. She's some ex. Let's leave her. Anyways, coming to the point, what I said is, here we are going to judge the quality of the user with respect to the source. How you're going to judge? Of course, it's top rated. Out of 10, he has received all the products. The best. Who is next? It seems Ramesh is next because he has returned only 1 product. It seems. Okay. And who can be next? It seems it's quite difficult to judge the quality of the, or it's quite difficult to give a rating based on these numbers. So how can I give a rating in a good manner? By taking simply a ratio of these two. So if I take ratio of these two, now by looking at these figures, it is quite clearly understood that who is best and who is next. So he's first, number one. Next, we thought this is the second person, but this second person, and it's number three, number four, number five, and it's six. My X is 6. Okay. Yeah. So what you understand is, by just taking ratio of these two, we get a figure. That figure will be helping us, helping the, you know, source to understand the quality of the load. Okay. On basis of returns. So this is what we'll call it as a power factor. Okay. What is power factor? It is true value or average value, which is represented by letter P. Apparent power, source is thinking it is sending 10 units of power, but it's not actually sending 10 units, it is only sending 8 or maybe something else. So let me take it as apparent power, I'm representing with S. Now, power factor is a measure or a figure of merit to understand the quality of the load with respect to the source. I hope you understand what is meant by power factor, which is the ratio of active power, you may call this as active power also, average power, true power, real power, there are different names for this. Ratio of active power to the apparent power. In some cases, of course in most of the cases, which is sinusoidal, where we have a sinusoidal voltage and sinusoidal currents, this turns out to be cos phi because P is equal to VI cos phi for a sinusoidal voltage and currents, and S is always V into I. This turns out to be cos phi. But if the signal is non-sinusoidal, this is no more valid. Okay, but this is always valid. So when somebody is asking you what is power factor, don't ever say it is cos phi. That's not the exact definition. When somebody is asking, you should say, it is a ratio of active power to the, yes, apparent power. Very good. Now, right. How is it different from efficiency? I hope I don't have to explain further because you might have understood already. So, 8 units of power has reached to our machine. Out of 8 units, some losses are there, maybe mechanical losses, copper losses, magnetic losses, whatever the losses, some losses are there. Output is only 4 units. 4 units are lost in between. So how efficient is this load in utilizing these 8 units of power. That's what simply output by input. Percentage efficiency you want into 100. 50% efficient.
Alright, so a simple explanation of what he just said was that your power factor rating is, basically the amount of power that comes to your appliance. All right, and by the amount of return from that appliance to the system will determine how efficient that deal is. So if you're getting 8 volts in and you're shipping 4 volts back, then obviously your power factor rating wouldn't be as good as somebody who's using up the complete amount of power that's coming in. For example, if I had an electric motor that ran on 8 volts, and as that electric motor's running on 8 volts, it's actually, because it's an inductive load, is sending power back. That's one power factor. And if I had a load that wasn't actually sending power back, instead I was bringing that power in and I was storing it, and absolutely none of that power was going back to the grid, because it's got plenty of place to go right there. It's not fighting with itself. That would be the best case scenario. So if you could get your appliances down to the point where, whatever power is coming through that wall is all that you use, and it's not having to fight with the power that is actually going back in the opposite direction, this is where the secret's at. If you had, I need to go back to Yolanta's question that she asked earlier, is that, let me see if I can scroll up and find it again. It says, Shaziz, our laptop power cable, the box in the middle of the cord is getting hot when connected, and we are using the laptop. Would it make a difference if the laptop were not turned on? And like I said before, the answer to this question is yes and no. So what you got going on is, let's say your laptop has lithium batteries in there. When your lithium batteries are being charged from, when they're, completely down or whatever, and then charged back up to 100%, it takes about an hour to do that. And so, if you're trying to run the laptop at the same time while you're trying to charge the laptop, those batteries aren't designed to charge and discharge as fast as what you're trying to do there. The best case scenario would be that if you had a system between the power supply and your laptop, and your battery was only there to maintain the power, if you had a storage bank of power, you could run that constantly while charging the storage bank instead of the battery direct. You're charging the storage bank, so the battery always stays full without extra power trying to shove into it. That lithium battery, or any battery, rechargeable battery for that matter, becomes a resistor. It resists the doggone current flow in. And so that's where your losses come in the heat. At the other end of it, from the laptop to the wall, your laptop has a step down transformer in it. As that power's coming out of the wall outlet, it's constant. It's constantly coming out. That transformer can't handle that much power. So if there was a way to put a system in between there, that any of that energy that the transformer cannot use would be guided off into a storage bank instead of trying to go back into the wall outlet, that transformer would no longer get hot. So what I'm working on is a system by which you can control the amount of power to run these devices without having too much power being shoved to them. So what's going on is basically normal with the standard system. Your transformer between the cord and the laptop is getting hot because it's a small transformer in there, and it doesn't need near the amount of power that's being pushed to it. Otherwise, it wouldn't get hot. Just a mere magnetic field expanding and collapsing isn't going to cause it to generate a lot of heat, as long as that energy has a place to go. If it doesn't have a place to go, that energy's just bouncing back and forth between the transformer and the doggone wall outlet, and it's causing it to get hot. On the opposite side, in your battery side, your transformer and your charging system is trying to push power to your battery. At the same exact time, you're trying to draw power from your battery. And so your battery's getting hot because it's not designed to charge and discharge rapidly. So it's basically, fighting itself and the whole entire system. Now, if somebody had some common sense ahead of time, instead of trying to use a battery the way they do in the conventional sense, used capacitance in order to be able to charge and discharge on demand without all that excess wasted energy and all that heat being generated, then you could run that laptop directly from your charge supply, and at that point it would kick your battery out of the circuit. You're no longer using the circuit. You're no longer using the battery. Batteries weren't designed to charge and discharge. So in the laptop scenario, you would be better off to charge your battery completely up, unplug your charger, and just run that battery down to an acceptable level. You have to check on what your battery rating is, how low. You don't want to run them completely low. And then when it gets down to that given number, then plug it back in and let it charge up. But if you're trying to run it real time, charging from the wall while actually using the computer, that is why it would get hot. Now, they sell little like trays that you can set your laptop on that will blow cool air up underneath there to keep your... It's got a little built-in fan, and it'll keep your laptop cooler. So there are devices out there that you can use to take away that heat, but you're only masking the symptoms. You're not resolving the problem. It would take a little bit more engineering in order to fix these things to be where they would be, that wouldn't be an issue any longer. It is doable. It is doable. But the reason why that transformer is getting hot and the reason why the laptop is getting hot is because there's losses in that system from the way that power is being delivered to whatever it needs to go to. Once I get my lab up and running, I'm going to show everybody how to fix this problem. And when it comes to the power going to all your different devices, I'm going to show everybody how to resolve that issue once and for all, so that you don't have the wasted energy and the power company is not being able to charge you twice for the same amount of power that you got. Because the power coming in, the power that your devices are sending back, that adds to the amount of amp draw on the system, and it's obviously costing you more money than it should in order to run this. So this next video will be a kind of a step towards the explanation of how to resolve this. Wait for it to come on here. Alright, so now my computer's acting up. Really? Come on, man. Let's try it again. I ain't want to play my video, so I'm going to have to go over here, scroll up, and try it on that one. Yeah, this is a fun part about it. Where you at? There, let's try this one. Dad, blast it. Alright, hold on. I'm going to try to refresh that page and see if I can get it, but in the meantime, that's what's going on as far as the way that the energy is being transmitted and being trying to send back the other direction. Give me a second here and I'll get this doggone thing going, I hope. This particular computer probably needs to be cleaned out or something. I don't know. It's been acting up with all these different updates from Skype and Google and all the different people that always want to keep their hands into your computer. Now the doggone whole entire page ain't loading. That's crazy. Alright, hold on. We'll get it resolved. Let's try this again here. Anyway, our appliances are incredibly inefficient the way that they're running. Here we go.
We're talking today about the different types of power in a facility, and primarily industrial and commercial facilities where there's a lot of motor load. There's basically two kinds of power. Your active power, which is the power that is really doing all the work, that's pushing the motors, then there's the reactive power. The reactive power is referred to commonly as wasted current, because what that wasted current is doing basically is keeping the magnetic field around the motor satisfied. It's not really doing any work, but what it is doing is working to plug up your distribution system. There's two ways to store electricity. On the AC systems, we store it with capacitors, which is what this is here. In a DC system, they use batteries. So we're focusing on the AC side of the business here. And we have a little demonstration set up to show you how, with our products, we can eliminate that wasted current from your distribution system, improve your power factor in your facility, and save you money in the process. If you don't do this, then the power company greatly penalizes you for this, because you're passing all this wasted current back through your distribution system onto their lines. There's two ways of doing that power factor correction. One way is at the main switchgear, where you have to oversize your capacitors to allow for any fluctuation in maximum loads on your system. But there's really no benefit to the business owner to do that. The power company is one that really benefits by this, because what you're doing is you're trapping that current at the service entrance, preventing it from going back on the power company lines, but it's still stuck on your distribution system, wasting space and energy. So what we do is we take our capacitors and we size them for the motor loads, and we run them in parallel with the motor, which is a critical point, because by running in parallel, the motors aren't running through the capacitors, they're running in parallel with them. So if the capacitor were to fail, the motor would not notice any difference. It would be business as usual for the motor concern. But what we're doing by installing...
Let me pause this for a second, because he said that it would be no benefit to the business owner, because basically you got all this energy that's, it's not going back to the power grid, but yet it's not being used. And that's because they haven't understood that they could actually take that excess energy and ship it on down to the next appliance. So if you had, say, at the other end of this power bank, you had a bridge rectifier that would change that AC wave into a DC wave, you could actually use that excess power to charge batteries up in order to have a backup power source. Now, if you go in to look at APC's automatic power supplies for computers, a battery backup for your computer, they use these type of deals in order to do this. While your AC's running normally, you got your appliance running through this battery bank, battery backup, and it's sending that excess power to the doggone battery. So that whenever if the power shuts off on the other deal, you still have that battery backup that will in turn kick on and keep the power going for a short period of time, allowing you time to be able to shut your appliance down so that you don't lose your data. But either way, if that concept was utilized on a major scale, you would have absolutely no wasted energy. Your entire house would be incredibly efficient, and your electric bill would be down to the dirt.
Capacitor in parallel with the motor, at the motor, we're keeping this motor satisfied because it's seeing all the reactive power as well as the active power that it needs to satisfy itself. What we're also doing is we're eliminating all that wasted current off your distribution system. So what we have here is a small motor, our capacitor, an amp probe, a simple kilowatt meter that's going to tell us what wattage this motor is drawing, just a little simple quarter horsepower motor. And first of all, I'm going to just plug this motor in, simple 110 motor. I'm going to put this little adapter in here so we can determine exactly what the amp is drawing that motor is. This is going to basically simulate what the distribution system looks like down in the field. So the motor's drawing 4.5 amps. It's the same on the neutral as it should be. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to unplug this motor. We got about 120 watts. Now I'm going to basically hook this motor up in parallel to my capacitor to simulate what would happen in the field if we were to hook a capacitor up to a motor. Now granted, most motors would be considerably larger. We typically wouldn't treat a motor as small because the payback would be too long. But with a larger motor that works harder, draws more power, runs more often, you can experience very considerable payback by introducing out products. So just double check the amperage of the motor again. Motor's still seeing its 4.6 amps, so the motor's happy, 4.7, everything's normal. Now, I'm going to plug in my capacitor. Basically, this is connecting because of this splitter. It's taking it from the distribution system and hooking it in parallel to this motor. When this is plugged in, no visible changes to the motor. The motor's running fine. I'll double check and see what the current on the motor is. See if the motor is still happy. 4.6, 4.7 amps. Our little motor is happy as a clam. Now we're going to check the power on the distribution system. In theory, we should have eliminated all that wasted current off the distribution system from this point back. We've taken 60% of the wasted current off of the distribution system, trapped it at the motor load. So what this does is greatly reduces the strain on the distribution system. Probably 30% of the applications that we deal with are industrial facilities who think they need a new service entrance because the distribution system is maxed out. And this is pretty good proof that we can eliminate that problem just by installing the capacitors. We see that our little kilowatt meter is down 10 watts. So that's about a 9% drop in kilowatt consumption as well. So not only are we eliminating all the wasted current from your distribution system, we're also saving you money in the meter as well.
All right, so you heard the difference in the wattage on there, and even 9% savings on your electric bill is going to add up over a period of time. And so all these different appliances that you've got out there that are inductive loads, those are basically costing you more money because it's costing you to read more watts at the meter. And so with that said, using the knowledge that you just figured out right here, with these systems, if you went through and you did an audit of your house as far as how much electricity is using, and you found the spots like this that were actually sending more, trying to send more power back to the grid, which is actually adding to the amount of watts that it's drawing at any given time. If this energy is allowed to come in smoothly and none of it's being shipped back in the other direction, it will reduce all the losses. And keep in mind, that capacitor bank that he's got hooked up to that thing, it's storing energy. There's real energy stored in there. And you can ship that down to the next one in line. You know, somebody did a video here a while back about a little Chinese device that had a capacitor and it called itself an energy saver. And essentially it was just an energy saver. But the way that they basically tried to debunk this thing being able to save energy was because they didn't understand what else was going on here. There should have been more measurements such as temperature of whatever device that was running in parallel with this deal. All these capacitors are basically non-polarized that are running in parallel with the AC current before the motor so that that energy has a place to go. And so with that said, if that energy has a place to go, it's not shipping it back to the power grid, which is making your power factor rating. Basically, it's like the guy was giving the Amazon deal. They ship you 10 packages, and you ship them back 10 packages. Essentially, you got a poor power factor rating because they don't want the return. The power company doesn't want that power coming back to them because it makes them have to work harder. Talking out the other side of their neck, it benefits them as far as you're going to have a higher bill because you're sending power back to that they got to contend with. They got to find a place for that power to go. And, you know, you too many people doing that, you got all this power coming back to the power company, and it causes the system, their system, to have to work harder in order to be able to keep the power flowing. The energy's fighting itself is what I'm trying to say, to put it as simple as possible. The energy is fighting itself. If you had a smart grid system in your house, to every appliance where you did an audit and you seen exactly how much power was being needed to use to run your device properly, and the amount of excess power, this is what the guy was talking about when he said that they could take individual motors, run that motor, and they could match a capacitor size up for that individual motor so that that energy would go to that capacitor instead of going back into the power grid. And so, whereas you're not sending it back to the power grid, that energy still exists, and that's why he called it wasted power. But it won't be wasted power if you're using that power. If you, like, say you're using that on maybe a resistive load or something like that, so you got an inductive load that's helping the resistive load to use less energy. So the secrets are in the details, folks. If you had this type of system in your house, you know, if outside of your power meter you had a power factor correction deal, even though you're not an industry, you still have a lot of wasted power that you're getting charged for because all the little transformers, all the electric motors, all the compressor motors in your AC or your refrigerator or your freezer, all of these are basically adding up like pennies in the bank. And that's why I always say, if you aren't using a phone charger, unplug that. You know, that'll reduce your power because that transformer's still working even though you're not extracting that energy from it. It's still going. So there are methods that you could use to basically shut off all the power to any device that you're not using at any given time, or be able to take that energy that is actually being used by that, if you're not taking the time to unplug it, to send that extra energy back in the other direction and put it into storage so that you're not wasting it. It's not waste if it becomes storage. You have a battery bank backup that would charged up constantly. So just like an automatic power supply unit, APC for short, those are basically running your appliance, and they can do it even more efficiently if they understood this concept that I've been trying to talk about. But they allow you to run your computer, And if there's a shutdown of the power supply, the power grid goes down or whatever, then you have that backup energy that then turns an inverter on and keeps the AC current going so that it keeps your computer running. All of that falls into what I've been trying to share with people for a long time. And once you got an understanding of how this energy is coming in and what's happening and why you're getting charged what you're getting charged, a resistive load obviously is going to cause a feedback on the line because it's slowing that power down and the power is constantly coming in. If you had a system by which the moment your amperage got up to a certain height or your wattage or whatever got up to a certain height, it would instantly break that circuit and not allowing any more power to come through until it was actually needed. When it's actually needed to keep that element hot, then you would allow the power to flow again. But what's going on is you're constantly that power is not, it never stops coming out of the wall outlet until you shut it off. And so when it's coming back and forth, it's building up that extra energy, and any magnetic coil within that range, like the amp meter, if you go study up how the amp meter actually measures the amount of amperage that is drawn, it all has to do with that magnetic field. And so if there's a lot of current going bouncing back and forth through there, obviously you're going to be drawing more amperage when it's not necessary to draw as much amperage. So we can even get our electric heaters to be more efficient by only allowing the amount of power necessary to get that element hot. You would be surprised at how little amount of power that it would actually take to keep those elements hot. You don't have to have a constant flow of current through those elements in order to get them hot. If you think about it, once you plug that thing into your wall, then that element gets red hot, and then you unplug it, you can sit there and you can actually calculate out how much time it takes for that element to get cold enough for you to be able to safely touch it. So it's holding heat for a long time, so why are we constantly pushing power to it? It don't need that much power. And if you had a place for that extra energy to go, you could literally tune your electric appliance. If it's, let's say it's a 1500 watt heater, you could get that 1500 watt heater to run off of less power because you're not constantly pushing power to it. It's not constantly pushing power back in the opposite direction, which is causing your meter to spin rapidly. Instead, you guide that energy on down the line. When that heater temperature reaches a certain point, it'll allow the power back into it again. So intermittently, that thing would be turning itself off and on without any intervention between you or the power company. It would wait until it gets up to its operating temperature. It would shut itself off. When it gets to starts to drop down below a certain temperature, it would turn itself back on. You know, you got a thermostat that does pretty much the same thing, but it still allows a lot of energy to get wasted in the way that they're running right now. When your thermostat gets to a certain temperature, it'll shut that power off. So in that point, you're not using the energy coming from the wall outlet. I hope I'm not confusing everybody with this, but let's keep going here. I want to try to get to this next one.
I'm here to show you a dynamic power factor correcting unit from Energy Saver. Basically, the way this unit works is it looks at the line and determines how much capacitance to put in the line to bring the power factor to unity. As we can see, we have a 5 microfarad, 10 microfarad, 20 microfarad, 45 microfarad, and 90 microfarad capacitor in this unit. And the unit is...
This system that he's explaining right now, it does what I was explaining automatically, but even this system can be improved upon.
Currently on, as you can see, it's currently on. It is plugged in right here, the CT set in line, And here's our power source coming from the wall. Basically, the unit does not draw any amperage while there are no motors running while the unit is plugged in. Okay? We have a simple setup here where we just have a power strip, and we're going to plug in these three motors here, to these three motors here, 2/8 horsepower motors, 1/3 horsepower motor, and here are the plugs for the motors. And we keep it simple. We basically don't want any switches or anything where people can, somebody could go in there and rig the switches to do this or do that while you turn it off or on. So we just have power wires going right into motors. Right here, you plug those right into the power strip. And we're going to show you by unplugging the unit, the dynamic unit, plugging it in, how it works, and how it does not draw any power while it's plugged in. Okay, so let's go ahead and plug in one of these motors here. And as you can see, the 3rd horsepower motor turned on. And right now what's happening is the dynamic power factor correcting unit is determining how much capacitance to use. So it's turned on the 90 microfarad and the 10 microfarad unit. Okay, so let's look down here. As you can see, there's 1.87 amps being drawn by this 3rd horsepower motor. Now if we come over here and unplug the dynamic power factor correcting unit, you're going to see that amperage jump up dramatically. Okay, let's go ahead and plug back in the dynamic power factor correcting unit. And you'll see that amperage drop. It takes a couple seconds. The dynamic unit has to do all of its calculations, you determine how much capacitance to add to actually bring that power factor up to unity. Okay, as you can see that we've done that and it's happened. Now let's plug in another unit. As you can see right here, we have a 90 microfarad and a 10 microfarad capacitor, and it's calculating right now. It says, okay, we need 5 microfarads instead of the 10. We're going to plug in another motor. Okay, this is the 2nd motor, 8th horsepower motor right there that turned on. And if we look up here, we can see that now it's turned on the 20 microfarad capacitor and the 10 microfarad, and it also has the 90 microfarad on. Okay, let's look down here, and we're going to go back down and unplug the dynamic unit, okay, just so we can see how much amperage jumps up. Okay, the dynamic unit is turned.
Let me pause this just for a second. So if every single household on the power grid actually had a unit like this right here that would basically reduce each individual's power bill because you're not spinning that meter crazy. But even like I said, this one could even be improved upon, and that's what my lab is going to show. Once I'm done, I'm going to show everybody how to not only save electricity, but to be able to store it and use that and change it around as necessary to put it where you need it, so that you are, at the very least, incredibly energy efficient. The way that we're running this power right now, with this explanation of what you're hearing about power correction, power factor correction technology, this is why our bills are so high, because we don't understand how this energy is actually traveling. And even to this extent, if you understand what's going on right here, then the new technology that I want to put out there for everybody will make so much sense that even somebody who ain't a high-tech terminology using electrical genius could basically understand exactly why this is saving you money. And so I'm going to prove it. I'm putting it all on the table so that everybody can see. And if you take these concepts and you expand them even further to utilize with your solar, your wind power, you could get completely off the power grid. You don't need the power grid. I mean, right now, because of the way that we're running things and things are so incredibly inefficient, the power grid's your only option. But if you understood these concepts, and even if you went to whether it be a DC solar system or an AC solar system, there are differences between the two. They do make panels that have built-in micro inverters that change the DC from the panel to AC before it ever comes out. And so it saves you a lot of money as far as equipment wise, or on the opposite spectrum is the regular DC that you have to have charge controllers and inverters in order to shift it over to AC. And you could either system, you can store power in battery banks so that if anything went wrong with the power company, that you would never lose power. But utilizing all this technology, everything that I've been trying to point out for a long time, utilizing it with those alternative energy deals, you've already got free energy. Now, the equipment's, the key. I mean, everybody says, well, it ain't free energy. You got to buy this, you got to buy that. Well, sure you do. You got to buy anything. If you're going to have your own generator, you have to buy it. You know, that's unfortunate. There's nobody willing to give you anything for free. But when it comes down to actual free electricity, nature's already provided all that. You know, we're just fighting with the power company over something that they're extracting from the world for free. You know, okay, they get the coal, they got to pay for that. They have to pay for people to work there. And once the generators are up and running, the generators themselves, they'll pay themselves off. You know, and to maintain them, they'll keep charging at the same rate. No matter how low their energy costs become, no matter how many advancements they make, they're going to continue to charge you the same. And in most cases, they're going to end up charging you more because more people on the power grid, more electric devices, and so on down the line. But in reality, the tricks that they learned from not just Tesla, but other researchers all the way back, everything to do with alternative energy and physics and stuff like that, they learned a lot of tricks that are saving them a lot of money. The factories and stuff that run these big heavy motors, they have devices like this in order to save them money because they're running so much inductive kickback going to the power grid, they're being charged for it more. But in reality, you're also being charged for it. So if every single house had a power correction system on it that would put the energy where it needed to go, and instead of it just being wasted energy or bled off with resistors or whatever, that you actually take that energy and you move it on down the line and you use that energy. It's already come through your wall anyway, and it don't matter if you ship it back. If you ship it back, they're just going to charge you for it again. So why ship it back? When it comes out the wall, it belongs to you. It's your energy to do what you want to do with. And so with a system like this, you can first bring your bill down and then take your excess energy with a few modifications to this type of system that is basically just compensating to give that energy a place to go, but it's not taking that excess energy and putting it into a storage bank that is long term. So with this system and the systems that are already designed for, charging batteries, these two combined together would give you a system where when that power is coming into your house, it's being guided to not just your appliance, but in excess is being guided to storage, so that if anything happens, that you still have power on all your appliances. So let's keep going here.
Off, there's no lights on. The amperage jumped up. I'm going to plug that back in here and give it a second. It's actually coming up here, doing its calculations, adding the proper capacitance to bring it to unity. Drops the amperage back down. Okay, now let's add one more motor here. And basically what we're just showing is how this unit, this dynamic power factor correcting unit, is smart, and it's actually going through and calculating the power factor and then adding the proper capacitances again to bring this up to unity. Okay? So now we're at 2.38 amps. We can see we have all three motors, this motor, and that motor spinning. And so all three of those motors are running. We're going to disconnect the dynamic unit and watch an amperage go up 2.38 to 7.47 amps. Wow, that's a big jump. That's 5 amps jump rate. They're over 5 amps. Okay, Now we're going to plug back in the power factor correcting unit. I just want to show you right here, power factor correcting unit is off. Plug it back in. And give it a second. It's doing all its math and calculations. 2.48. Now the most important thing is the power draw of this unit. Okay, so we can see right now that it cuts down from over about a 7.5 amps down to 2.36 amps. What I'm going to do, we're going to leave the dynamic unit in, plugged in, okay, not changing anything. We're going to leave all the power on, okay, but we are going to remove the motors. So when, for example, if you're in a business and at night everybody goes home and all of these motors get unplugged or turned off and we can hear the noise, the unit is still plugged in. We still have power on the unit right here. Okay. Now let's go down and look at the amp draw. The amp draw, 0.01 amps. And as you can see, the unit's still plugged in. Nothing has changed. Power strip's plugged into here. Basically, what had happened is the dynamic unit determined it did not need any more capacitance and shut everything off inside. It's just kind of in standby right now, waiting for a load to be plugged in. So that kind of concludes exactly how the dynamic power factor correcting unit works.
All right, so you just heard another little example of how this system is self-regulating, and that would give you a general idea of what it is that I've been trying to explain here today. The power factor correction deal, you know, could be basically added to. You take that technology and then you would have a system in your house to where when you plug this system in, any excess energy that your appliances could not use would be guided off into a storage bank. And from that point on, that'll make your appliances run more efficiently because they won't be getting hot from being attacked by too much power. You guide that power on down the line, and then you take that power and you rectify that AC wave and you push it into battery banks that would be able to charge up and be able to run inverter systems. And even when you start to pull that power off again, the same exact concept. Anytime you're going to move energy from one place to the next, you got to understand what's happening in there. So, you know that a battery can't charge and discharge rapidly, so you need something that can charge and discharge rapidly. At the stage where I'm talking about, when that battery is fully charged, it is literally just there for backup power. It's no longer there necessary for this. You're not going to be running any of your inverters directly off of that battery. It's actually going to have a buffer before the battery and after the battery. So as the capacitors are charging and discharging rapidly, those are giving your real on-time demand power, and it just skims right over the top of the battery and goes to run your appliance. Even in your inverters, the way that your energy is being transferred from AC wave to a DC wave, all these different stages inside there could have the same exact buffer between them that would not allow this excess energy to cause your appliances to get hot. Folks, the enemy of your appliances is the thermal energy, the waste energy, because of the way that this power is being sent to them. If the industry understood this and really wanted to resolve the issue to make things last a lot longer, then they would introduce this concept into their design, their original engineering. And so you wouldn't have to worry about that little electric fan in the back of your computer. It would probably never come on as long as the temperature of the processors never got above a certain temperature, and that would save you electricity. Because keep in mind, when we talk about an electric space heater, most electric space heaters, not all of them, but most of them have a built-in fan. So a space heater is a dual problem. It is a resistive load and an inductive load. So you got the inductive kickback coming from the electric fan, and you got the resistive kickback coming from the resistive element. So you get a double whammy in there, and that's why it drains so much wattage on your circuit. But by understanding this concept, separating those two types of loads, and having a place for that excess energy to go from the fan, and an excess energy going from the doggone heating element, when that heating element reaches its maximum temperature, it will automatically shut itself off. And we're talking high temperatures when we're talking about the element. So it'd be a little bit of engineering to design a thermometer that could literally measure the temperature of that element. When it gets up to its maximum potential that it needs to be in order to generate that radiant heat that you need, the system would automatically shut that element off and allow that element to cool down naturally. So that element is not running constantly, which would reduce the resistance of that energy that is waiting in line to come to that element. It's just like what I explained with my redneck hot tub. You know, normally you have a hot tub, it's 220 volts, it's a pretty heavy duty load. But I was able to run this hot tub with a coffee pot element because I understood how energy works. And so in the dead of winter, snow and ice outside, I'm in my shorts with no insulation under the tub, no insulation around the tub, no insulation anywhere around it, just by understanding how that energy, how to heat that water. If more people could have realized what the heck they were looking at outside of just some crazy redneck making a hot tub out of an old bathtub, you know, then they would have understood that they could have been saving themselves a massive amount of money on electricity right now. But anyway, we'll get there. Once I get this doggone lab together, which I'm apologize for taking so long. But, you know, it's just, it is what it is. And so, you know, with that said, I will get there. But once I do, I'm going to show you exactly every single thing that I've been saying in a practical application. It is so ridiculously simple and easy to understand, including on how we run electric motors. These electric motors, none of them need near the amount of power that we're shoving to them. That power gets kicked back right back to the doggone power bank or the transistors, and it causes that to get hot. Go look at my video called Redneck Hot Tub. It basically used a coffee pot element and an old swimming pool pump. And basically, you circulate the water from the pump into the tub, or through the coffee pot element, down into the tub, out the drain, back through the system. It was recycling the water constantly. It'd take 4 to 6 hours to get completely up to operating temperature, but after that, you'd have to watch the temperature of the water because at certain points, the water would get too hot for you to set in, so you had to shut the element off so that it's not running constantly. But what that showed was energy being used where there was absolutely no waste energy, with exception of as the heat rising from the water, you know, out into the atmosphere. But literally, I was able to sit in this tub in the dead of winter in my shorts and not be frozen. I hope to... I'll see if I find a link to that, but I hope that people understand what it is I'm trying to show. And I wish that whenever they saw that video, they realized what I just showed them. That's why I tried to tell everybody, there is a method to my madness. I'm going to play this, and I'm going to try to find the link to my redneck hot tub video and post it in the chat rooms for you.
In any season, a leaky home costs money. How do you stop it? It starts with a comprehensive home energy checkup. That's a series of tests and inspections to find out where your house could be more efficient. The end goal is to save energy, save money, and make your house more comfortable. Installing energy-efficient lighting and appliances will help. So will creating a sealed barrier around your house, kind of like putting a blanket around the outside, minimizing the leaks. Upgrading your home to save energy can put anywhere from 5 to 30% of your energy bill back in your pocket. Okay, to get a thorough home energy checkup, you'll need some help from a professional. Look for a home energy technician, called an auditor, in your area. Now, in this cold weather evaluation, the auditor starts on the outside, looking for problems around walls, joints, and under the eaves. If there's not a tight fit, you're losing energy and money. Next, the technician might head up to your attic to check for leaks on the top of your home barrier. That trap door could be a culprit, letting cold air pass into the house. A big part of the checkup is determining how well the insulation insulates. Insulation should be correctly installed in between all areas of the house frame. That means it needs to be evenly applied and not just jammed into spaces. And of course, if the insulation has fallen down, it's not working. Your energy auditor will inspect the holes where electrical lines pass through. If they're not sealed, they're leaking. Then it's down to the basement. Your furnace and water heater could be wasting energy. The auditor will check to see how energy efficient the furnace is. Furnaces generally lose efficiency as they get older, and it could cost you more to keep yours running than to replace it with a new one. Maybe all you need is a new filter. Some people haven't changed their filter for months, even years. That gunk clogging the filter means your furnace has to work harder to heat your home. If the water heater is several years old, it may not be efficient. And if it isn't insulated, it's also losing energy. Now it's on to the ductwork. The technician will inspect connections to make sure they make a tight fit. They have to be sealed to keep the warm air going where it's supposed to go. If the screwdriver can go in the hole, it means one thing for sure, money is going out. Now for the blower door test. The energy auditor will close all the windows and doors and anything else that lets outside air in. This special fan will depressurize the home. The idea is to suck air out of the house, allowing outside air to rush into the home through all those openings you didn't know about. Okay, so with the windows and doors closed and the fan running, leaks are easy to spot with an infrared camera. In winter, the auditor will scan the interior of the home looking for cold air rushing in. Here, the darker the color, the worse it is. These black spots mean one big air leak. It's an eye-opening experience. For this house, the recessed lighting fixtures are big problems. The auditor will also take a look at the kinds of light bulbs in those fixtures. If they're incandescents, they're using a lot of energy. Warm, compact fluorescents are an energy-saving alternative. So, the home energy assessment reveals ways that energy escapes your home, costing you money. The good news is, you'll have a comprehensive home energy report showing which efficiency upgrades are right for you and where to stop those pesky leaks.
Alrighty then, I found that video. I need to... just for a heck of it, I'm going to see what I had to say in this deal.
Hello everybody, Shaziz here. I'm sitting out here on my deck made out of 100% recycled materials here. And we're looking at my redneck jacuzzi. Can't get any more redneck than this.
Huh.
It's an old bathtub with a doggone swimming pool pump. And wait till you see the heating element. It's a coffee pot element, man. And basically that circulates the water through there and goes up through the old swimming pool pump. There's my drain off right there. And there you go. There's a freaking redneck hot tub, man. Don't get no more redneck than that. Of course, I got to get it cleaned out because I started filling the water in before I cleaned it out very good. Got to get me a good old pool, whatever you call that, doggone it, a pool net. Yeah, see, we got a little garden going on here, some gardening going on down in here. Never mind the middle patch, that's weeds. She ain't done yet. Anyway, there's my deck made out of 100% recycled material. My redneck hot tub heater and pump. And that's it, man. Just figured I'd have to share that with you. Pretty nifty, man. Anyway, this is what life is like at Shazooza's house. We use whatever we get our hands on. Peace and love, everybody.
Yep. Oh, boy, that brings back a lot of memories. Anyway, that thing's a lot more efficient than you think. It's pretty impressive, and I was hoping that people back in them days would have realized what it was that I was trying to show them. But there it is. I posted the video link over there. Anyway, the way that this energy is coming into the house, it's incredibly inefficient. And so we need to find a way to fix it, right? Well, we've got a way to fix it. Now, I'm going to play this next one in line. I don't think I've played this one just yet. I got two more of these, I think.
Welcome to Power Protection Products, Inc. And today, we are going to talk about Power Quality Explained, specifically Power Factor Correction. My name is Andy Anchors with Power Protection Products, and today I'd like to go over a topic known as power factor correction and power factor correction solutions. Up here on the board, we have power factor, and this is also known as the power factor triangle. Down here, you would see this line, which represents KW, known as real working energy, also known as watts. On this side of the triangle, this line represents K-bar, also known as reactive energy, to build up magnetic fields. Now this line over here represents KVA. This is total power. And this is the combination of K-bar and KW. And down here, the cosine of this angle is where we derive mathematically power factor. Now, to help me further explain power factor in reactive energy, we have a little drawing down here, and what this represents is a piece of wire, maybe in an electrical industrial facility, and this wire, you can see these rings around, that represents magnetic fields. Before current will flow down this conductor to a motor or some other electrical device, magnetic fields have to be developed around all those current-carrying conductors. Currently, this real energy is being provided by the electrical utility. And now I'd like to show you in a live demonstration how this works. Now up here on this board, what we have here is two inductive motors, similar to what you might see in an industrial application. And above those on this board are different capacitors of different KVAR values, also tied to switches that we can manually operate through this live demonstration. And then over here to the right, what we have is a power quality meter that can measure and document all of these KVAR, KVA, and KW demands. So now what I'd like to do is turn on one of these motors and show you what the actual power factor is. So as we bring on the first motor load, you can see, as we zoom in, the total power factor is 0.225. And now, as I would like to correct this power factor, I will start to begin bringing on some capacitors, flipping on the first stage. Now that we have done that, you can see we've brought our power factor up with a minor improvement to 0.294. we still need to correct even further, so we'll engage another stage. And you can see that the power factor is now corrected to a 0.958. Very close to unity, where what we'd also consider as a perfect scenario. I will now bring on the last stage, and you can see we went from an inductive power factor, or lagging power factor, to a leading, also known as capacitive power factor. And we are injecting more kVars than we're actually consuming. I will now bring on the second motor to show you we can bring down the power factor again with another inductive load, a 0.60. Now, this demonstration shows you by correcting your power factor with power factor correction capacitors, you can alleviate and eliminate the reactive demand measured in kVar. If you'd like to learn more about this, please visit us at www.powerqualityuniversity.com. Thank you.
Okay, I'm looking up on eBay right now a whole house energy saving power factor saving saver kVar unit 1100 with TVSS, whatever that is, three prong. Basically, this is a gizmo you plug right into your doggone wall that is a resemblance of what this guy right here is talking. Now, this one here says it's $349 with free shipping. And so if this thing checks out to do exactly what it says it's going to do by taking any of those inductive kickbacks so away from sending back to the power grid, and saves you money, then it would be worth the one-time investment. So I'm going to copy that and see if I can transfer that over to the Super Chat room, just so you can see what it is that I'm talking about. That's a long link, man. All right, let me get to this deal right here. See if I can bring it back around on the other side. Man. That is a super long link. I'm going to have to figure out a different way to do that. Alright, so I'm going to have to go to tinylink.com and try to tinyurl.com and see if I can get a smaller link. And anyway, let's see, URL. Let's try this out here, see if this works. Alright. Nope. Oh, sorry about that, folks. Alright, yeah, okay. Let's see if I can copy that link. Tiny URL, the following URL, blah, blah. Okay. Let's see if this is it. This is terrible for live radio. Sorry about that. I'm just trying to get you some information here. Let's kick that in there and see if that works. Nope. Dad blast it. Anyway, I'll just post information in there and see if I can get somebody to Google it up for me and find it. Alright, so this is a whole house energy saver. If anybody's in the chat room who can find a link to something similar to this, please post a link that I can share over at People for People. I'm going to post it up in the Super Chat room. Anyway, so basically they already have existing technology that can that can solve a portion of this problem. But I'm saying we can improve upon this to even solve it yet even farther. So I'm gonna copy some information into the chat room. I couldn't get the doggone link to the actual eBay one that I was looking at, but you know, you get a general idea of what it is that you can look for. Find a link to that to share with everybody. But anyway, let me get rid of that right there. Anyway, this thing right here, let me see what it says as far as the description of it. There's a bunch of different ones that they show on eBay. I'm trying to see if I can find a doggone description. It says, this is a whole house energy saving TVSS unit that connects to your dryer, 30 joules, or 3,000 joules of move, whatever. I'll read full description here, if I can find it. Alright. This is a whole house energy saving unit that connects to your dryer. Designated for electric bills $150 or less. Connects to the three-prong dryer outlet. Capacitors are 440 volt rated. 60,000 life hour capacitors. I don't know. Either way, this is just one little suggestion of something to actually look into. But these units right here is what industries use as far as you know, being able to correct their power factor rating. And there are other ones out there. That one there said it was a whole house one, so I don't understand why you'd need any more. Oh, thank you, Yolance. Anyway, so these things right here are just like simple. Plug them into the doggone wall, and it don't show how many. I'm gonna have to look up some reviews on this particular product. And whenever I get all that information together, I will get back to you on that. And also, I'm posting a link to another one that'll give you a little bit more idea of what I'm talking about. All right, so paste. This is what they're talking about making a smart home out of. Basically saving you some energy. Posting this link everywhere. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of information to research. So that, you know, if this will benefit you and save you some money, then this is what I'm talking about. So there's folks out there actually working on what I'm talking about, but I don't think they're taking it to the full extent of where we could actually go with this, to where these houses would be so incredibly efficient. Join for free. I don't want to join nothing. Dad, blast it. Sorry about that. That link I just kicked in is being a pain in the neck. I'm going to download the PDF to it and see what we got. Automatic power factor correction PDF. And so I'll send you a link to that download as well. What in tarnation we got going on here? All right. Sorry about this, folks. I'm just trying to get some links together. All right, so save the link. Ah, doggone it. Copy link address. This next one, link that I'm going to throw in there is actual download the PDF of this deal. So That's what that is. Alright. And blast it. I'm having a heck of a time here. Sorry about that. Hold on. Here we go. So I'm posting this other one. This is a direct download to that that PDF version there. And let me click on that link to see what occurs. That takes you to the download portion. Alright. Cool. Alright, so then you can download that information and get a little bit more idea about what's going on. Alright, so what we've talked about here today is basically, you know, we waste a lot of energy at our houses. There are tools, technology already on the market to help resolve portions of the reasons why we're wasting so much energy in our houses. There are things that you could actually do to increase your energy efficiency. And if all these things were combined together, we could bring your energy efficiency up to incredible rates. So I posted a whole bunch of links over there in the Super Chat room, so hopefully those will be beneficial for people who want to check into it. And I need to try to close out a bunch of these doggone windows. But either way, there are devices that are already already in the deal. Okay, so that PDF, I'm going to look through it real quick. It's got a bunch of information in there about saving energy, I think. Huh. Alright, anyway, there's a little bit of research material for you. So the way that we're running our houses right now, there are a whole lot of different inductive loads in our houses, and all of those add up when it comes down to you know, how much we're actually being paid for you know, actually we're actually paying for electricity. And if we can resolve these and end up with an actual surplus, a storage of power, you know, under a perfect scenario, we can amplify the power and store it and send the power back to the power company and get them to pay us for it. So we send it back in the right method and we'd get paid for it. We send it back in the wrong method, we get charged for it. So it's, look, there's all kinds of possibilities there. Anyway, I think I'm going to take me a music break real quick and get my brain sorted out. I'm sitting here trying to push buttons and copy links and I'm stumbling all over myself. But either way, we have some information available to us that will show us, you know, I asked the question, why energy, as I made the comment, why energy is wasted, and you are paying for it, right? You're paying for the electricity that's coming out that wall. So what you do with that electricity from that point on, that's, you know, that's you. So I'm gonna throw a tune in here real quick and take a quick break and get my brain back in order. I'm half tired because I've been working pretty hard here at the shack. So anyway, I get this doggone lab put together and I'm going to show you every single thing that I've been trying to explain to you in a, such a ridiculously simple fashion that I guarantee it's going to save you money. And once all these things are implemented and you got your whole entire system, you could take it even farther and you'll have your free energy device right there without having to go out there and buy any plans or whatever. So stay tuned. I'm gonna throw on a music.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny?
Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women's old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old .45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
All right, I'm back. Apologize for all that. I played a few tunes because I was trying to track down a couple videos that I wanted to share. I posted some more links over there in the Super chat room of some important information, and I'm going to play this one right here first.
Hey guys, in this video I want to do some test to see what is the effect of power factor on the inverter battery runtime. I found some guys that asking about the effect of power factor on the inverter battery, but after many years there are no good answer to their questions. The power factor is a number between 1 and 0. That refers to the phase shift between voltage phase and current phase in AC appliances. The power in DC devices is equal to voltage times current, but the power in AC devices is equal to voltage times current times power factor. Assuming we have two AC appliances and both they are consuming 220 watts of power, but the power factor in the first device is 1, and the power factor in the second device is 0.5. In this case, according to this formula, the first device is drawing 1 amp of current, but the second device is drawing 2 amps of current. So the load with less power factor drawing more current. However, the power consumption in the both AC appliances are the same. Here I have two LED lamps with the same power. Both they are consuming 15 watts of power, but the power factor in the first lamp is equal to 0.63, and the power factor in the second lamp is very close to 1. So the first lamp with less power factor drawing 105 mA of current, but the second LED lamp with higher power factor drawing only 66 mA of current. Here I have this power inverter and this supercapacitor bank. I charge my supercapacitor bank to 14 volt and connect it to the power inverter. First, I want to connect the LED lamp with less power factor to the inverter. Then I connect the second one with higher power factor to see which of them drain the supercapacitor faster. First, I run in my LED lamp with power factor of 0.6 to see how long it takes to drain the supercapacitor bank. By the way, you can find out the links of the supercapacitor bank and the stopwatch in the description of this video. As you can see, it takes 1 minute and 55 seconds. And this time, running the second LED lamp with unity power factor. This time, as you can see, the LED lamp with higher power factor drained the supercapacitor bank after 1 minute and 58 seconds. So 36% more power factor, increasing the runtime of the inverter only 2.5%. Here I have this tiny AC motor. Its power is 15 watts and drawing 116 milliamp of current, and the power factor is 0.55. According to this online PFC capacitor calculator, I have to connect 1.3 microfarad capacitor with the motor to increase the power factor from 0.55 to 1. As you can see here, by connecting the capacitor to the motor, the power factor become very close to 1, and the current drawing drops from 116 milliamp to only 66 milliamp. First, I charge the supercapacitor bank to 14 volt and connect the motor to the inverter without power factor correction capacitor. As you can see, it's drained the supercapacitor after 1 minute and 58 seconds. I repeat this test, and this time using power factor correction capacitor. This time the motor drained the supercapacitor after 2 minutes and 8 seconds. So increasing the inductive load power factor by 43%, increase the inverter runtime by 7.8%. So I can see significant change in the inverter runtime before and after power factor correction. Please like this video and subscribe to my channel. Thanks for watching.
Alright, so you just heard a little real-time example, and I posted that video link over there of how if you're running like regular DC solar panels and you're going through inverters and then you're actually going to go into your appliances from that point on, any inductive load that you got on that appliance, you can save energy power from the batteries. You can save time, or give yourself more time on those batteries, which would make the batteries last a lot longer, just by adding a capacitor bank to them. So everything that I've been showing you is basically backing up everything that I've been trying to say to everybody for a long time about how this energy is actually traveling. So I want to play another one similar to it that I just posted the link over there as well. Listen to this one here.
So I set up this demonstration kit here to show you exactly how it works. I have a motor that came out of an air conditioner. We have our unit, power corrector. We have a meter here that's going to measure how many watts is being pulled by this motor, and how many watts, once it goes through here, it goes up through this coil of wire. It's about 60 feet of wire. Then it comes down and gets measured here, you know, to the power company. So I'm going to turn everything to watts. There we go. Okay, so you'll notice here that the motor itself is consuming 151 watts. Unfortunately, you're being charged 172 watts. Right? So you've got about, what, 10% that you're being billed for that you're not actually using. You're not benefiting from that, and I'll show you. So what we do is we turn this on, and it takes that wasted energy and recycles it back to the motor 60 times a second. It's basically what the capacitor does. When it does that, you'll notice this one's going to drop, right? So I'm going to flip the switch on. Notice this one stays relatively unchanged, but now this one drops to match it. So now you're being billed the correct amount that you're actually using, because we're taking what was being wasted and the power company had to keep supplying the excess. We're now going to recycle that energy and feed it back to the motor, so instead of wasting it, you're actually going to get every dime that you paid for, and your electric bill is going to end up going down because you're not wasting that electricity that you're actually paying for. You're going to start using it. There's how you're saving money.
All right, so that's the simple of it right there. Now, there's a lot of people out there that holler about, oh, well, you don't actually get charged for this type of power on your bill. Well, you actually do, because it you seen some real time. Well, you didn't see them unless you watched the video. But anyway, the explanation's there that by utilizing these units, anytime you got electric motors or transformers, and using these units like this right here, it recycles that energy, and so you're only paying for what you're actually using. Now, instead of having that energy just shipped back to the power grid, you can ship it off in the other direction, so you're still actually only paying for what you're using, but it's not being wasted energy. You actually have a surplus there, whereas before, it would have just been sent back and you'd had to pay for it anyway. So regardless of what happens, you're still paying for the energy that's coming out of that wall outlet. Well, when you're running these appliances the way that you do right now, you're paying for that more for that energy. And in that case right there, he showed an example of where you was paying 10% more. Now, if that's 10% per appliance, that means that that'll add up. And so that'll raise your doggone light bill up through the roof, because 10% of this appliance and 10% of that more than what you're actually using makes a big difference. So if they have these whole house power factor correction units, then maybe one of those right there could solve the problem and at the very least reduce your electric bill. So if you check into that, talk to a couple electricians that you might know or whatever, and do a little bit of research in there, you might find that you can already buy these things off the store shelves that you could just literally plug into the wall near your dryer or your washer, whatever has a big electric motor, or even your air conditioner or your refrigerator. And you know, depending on how many appliances you're running, might determine on how many of these things you'd actually need. Maybe if you had a big enough one to begin with coming into your house, that any of that excess energy would get stored and recycled back through the system, or stored and guided off into a storage bank to where you could actually save that power in case the power ever went out. And then, you know, heck, free electricity after that point. You know, whatever you paid for out of that wall is all you paid for. And instead of wasting it, then you might as well utilize it to lower your bill and, you know, give you some excess storage there. So with that said, there's another one here I wanted to play.
Hi, my name is Raj Khanna. I'm the power quality engineer for Delta Energy Systems, and today we have our active power filter demo on display. Here we have our C2000 variable speed drive, our industrial Ethernet switch, and the start of the show, which is our active power filter, or APF2000. Our APF2000 improves power quality in three distinct ways. It mitigates harmonics to the 50th order, which brings it to below 5%, which meets IEEE 519 standards. The other two benefits of our active power filter is that it improves the power factor to 96% whilst also balancing the three-phase loading. On the front of our active power filter, we have our HMI screen. This screen displays and monitors in real time a number of power quality parameters. These parameters include total current distortion rate, main current, output current, system power, and power factor. One of the features of our HMI screen is that we can monitor the harmonic spectrum in real time. Here we can see our fundamental current on the left-hand side, along with all the harmonic orders. With the APF off, you can see that all the harmonic orders exist. As soon as we turn the active power filter on, we can see that all the harmonic orders are mitigated. The target industries for our active power filter exist where there are high nonlinear loads, which create high harmonics and a low power factor. Such examples include variable speed drives, induction motors, and UPS systems. By improving your power quality, we can reduce the total cost of ownership whilst also lowering your energy bill.
Alright, so as simple as that, the technology's out there. And so when you look into what it is I just explained to you today, hopefully that'll give you an idea. I don't know if I played this one. Oh, yeah, I already did. Sorry. That's my redneck hot tub video. If you haven't seen it, go look at it. And actually looked pretty good back in the day. But, so I posed the question, or made the statement, why waste power? Or, doggone it, where's it at? Boy, I'm just like really out of sorts today. Let me see if I can find it now. I done lost it. You have whole house energy savers. Anyway, why energy is wasted? Why energy is wasted is because we do not have an understanding of how the energy is actually coming into our house, which is beneficial to the power company because they're actually getting more money on your bill every month. Of course, they're going to tell you, oh, we don't want that power back. Well, really? They're always telling you you got to reduce your power consumption, but they're not telling you how to reduce your power consumption. Part of reducing your power consumption is not paying more to run your electric fan than you're actually using to run your electric fan. See, that's a sneaky little secret right there. Every time you run an electric fan, every time you run a space heater with a fan built into it, both the space heater and the fan add together to charge you more than you're actually using. The system that I'm talking about sharing with everybody will show you how to use that power without paying more for the energy that you're actually using, and to bring that energy down to the point where you're only using what that appliance actually needs to run, which will mean that your computer fan won't never kick on again because it won't get hot enough to kick on. And as long as your computers are running cooler, they'll last a lot longer. As long as your fans are running cooler, they'll last a lot longer. All of your appliances, as long as they are running efficiently and not only using the power necessary to actually do the job, those wall outlets, for the last time, probably not for the last time because I'll probably say it again in the future, but nonetheless, for the last time on this show, those wall outlets push a continuous amount of power out. They don't stop. Just because you shut your TV off doesn't mean that power stopped, because there's a transformer in there, and that transformer's still pulsing, and it's still wasting energy. So if it ain't directly, completely unplugged away from the wall, even when you're not using it, it's still drawing power. Any little load whatsoever, a little neon bulb or whatever, any indicator light that shows it's still plugged in, but it's not turned on, is still drawing power. So add all these things up. If you go get a doggone audit of your own home energy use, you might find a bunch of ways with insulation and different types of lighting that you could actually save money. But the biggest deal is being able to control that way that the energy from induction loads and even resistive loads are bouncing back and forth and basically making it look like you're using more power than you actually are. And so with that said, you'll be able to start saving a whole lot of money right out of the gate. If you go and you unplug every single thing in your house and then, only plug in what it is that you're going to use, and you try that for a month, you're going to find out that your electric bill is going to decrease because you don't have all these other little transformers that are running constantly. So the only time you plug them in is when you need them. The only part that would get obnoxious about this whole deal would be like your TVs, your settings on your stuff like that. And so if you had a battery bank that would hold up for, let's say, 24 hours, you got a battery bank connected to your computer, and once you shut your computer off, it'll still hold its memory and all that kind of stuff. And then whenever you switch it back over to the regular wall power, then it will charge your battery bank back up, plus use the wall power from that point on. With a power correction unit involved in the situation, now you're going to only be paying for what you actually used, and you're not going to be paying for energy that you didn't really use. You did, but you didn't. You had it turned off, but it was still plugged in, and so that transformer's still going. So with that said, if you calculate up all the stuff that is in your house that has a possible transformer inside of it, those are constantly draining power even whenever you're not utilizing them. So by building a smart system in your house, you can drastically reduce your electric bill and be able to have some extra money that you could then in turn reinvest in systems that would even improve upon it even more. I mean, there's so many different concepts of things that you could actually do that we've talked about here on the Mad Science Show many times, You know, it's like your air conditioner's in one room, your refrigerator's in the next room over, but the door's wide open, and so your refrigerator and your air conditioner are fighting each other to take the heat out of the air. Well, by doing that, you know, it costs you more money to try to run your air conditioner because your air conditioner's kicking on more often. And so if you understand that and you fix that, you resolve that problem, you know, by maybe venting that heat from the back of the refrigerator outside and let nature take care of that portion, then you'll obviously save money because your air conditioner won't be kicking on near as often. So there's ways that we can make our houses incredibly energy efficient. And so, I said why energy is wasted. I basically made a comment, said why energy is wasted is because I was fixing to tell you that why it is, and you're paying for it. So, with that said, folks, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. I hope you enjoyed it. If you found this to be informative, please share this podcast with somebody. And stay tuned for the Music with Kara Hour here in a minute. I'm still got a little bit of time left, so I'm going to throw on a song or two there. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound?
What's that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.